Amen. I want Rayanne to come up here. I was talking to her before the service, and she's just a woman that loves the Lord, and God's been doing some good things. And it's been a couple of years here where she's really been going through some really attacks of the devil and upon her, but God is just opening up doors, and I wanted her to give this testimony this morning, and just encourage you. So, Rayanne, tell me.
Okay, for the last 18 months, I've been going to Indiana Business School, and I just graduated in December, and sending out resumes and applications, had several interviews, second interviews, didn't get the jobs. So starting to get a little discouraged and everything. So one Friday night, I'm praying, God told me, you need to fast and pray about this. Just really seek me. So I was like, okay. Saturday morning, I started my fast. I told my husband about it, and lo and behold, that Sunday, you started preaching about fasting. And as Greg was driving to work, he was praying, and God told him to fast as well. So we spent the whole week fasting and praying, and that Friday, God started saying, okay, it's done. So I, fine, fast, ended my fast, started normal eating then Saturday morning, and just started thanking God and praising him. That Friday, I got a phone call and set up an interview for Monday. I went back this past Friday for my second interview, was hired in at a higher rate than what was even quoted to me. Benefits are excellent. There's so much room for growth and even gaining more knowledge. So I'm just thanking God for this.
We don't see Greg very much because he works for Wish TV down in Indianapolis. So he has to be there, and hopefully his shift's going to change. But I want to tell you something. It's such a blessing because Rayanne was telling me that she makes more than her husband does now. So that's just the Lord blessing her, and because they've been under attack on their finances, and she decided she was going to fast and pray. And I just thought, man, God, that is awesome. That is awesome, and what the Lord does, if we'll just be faithful and do that. By the way, I'm wearing black today in mourning for my Cowboys, that they're not in the playoffs. And the blue is not for the Cowboys. I'm rooting the Colts on today, so I just want to let you know. And pray for those Bear fans because they're going against the Drew Brees boys. So, Jeff Hudson, would you come up here? I asked Jeff. He didn't really want to do this, but I've been hearing about some of the things, some fasting going on in his life, and just some really out-and-out miracles the Lord's been doing, and I wanted him to share what God's been doing.
You ever been really nervous? I'm not good at this. I guess we'll go back to last year when we were working on the fasting. Monday, to give up something on Monday. So the whole year I give up two meals on Monday. And I'm not saying every Monday. Sometimes I forgot. Sometimes I did one, but probably 80% of them I did at least one. And nothing happened the whole year, you know, but and a little discouragement. But this year, I think it's catching up with me. I have a little business, and we're always just on the edge of nothing. You know, it's just at the end of the month, I have less than my payroll is, and the Lord always provides. I mean, it's amazing. Mathematically, it doesn't work, but it works every week. My needs are met. But I've just come into some favor of the Lord lately. I needed a new lift. I needed a lift is something that lifts the car up off the ground for alignments and whatnot. Needed some other pieces of equipment. I'll just put it this way. I needed three pieces of equipment that totaled probably $12,000. So this is amazing. so here in the last couple weeks, I've gotten phone calls. I've been telling people I needed this stuff. So I fell into this lift. It's an $8,000 lift. It was a business, went out of business a couple years ago. It's been sitting in storage for 2 years. I got it for $250. So just fell into it. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. And these other two pieces of equipment I needed, they totaled probably $4,000 to $5,000. They're like brand new. Frank cleaned them up back there. He knows. They were dirty. They've been sitting a while. Got one for free. And the other one, it was the $2,500 one I got for $300. So here in the last couple weeks, I've gotten $12,000 worth of stuff for $500. It's amazing. But also, I think what's attributed to that is we've, and I don't make a lot of money, but me and my wife had said, well, what do you want to make? And so I want to make this much money a week. So we've faithfully tithed on what we want to make on the gross for the whole year. And it's, I can't afford not to tithe. I really can't. If I quit, I believe I would fail. I think I would go under, and we'd lose everything. So we just have to. We have to continue to tithe and give to the Lord, and He has absolutely poured it out. And I just give Him the glory.
He didn't share it all. I heard some other things, so I'm going to share it for him. He's been trying to sell a car, I don't know, for about 2 years, and he sold the car here recently. And not only did he sell the car, in the deal, he got the money he was looking for the car, but he got a 4x4 white Ford pickup, which is what he's been asking God for, white 4x4 Ford pickup. He got that in the deal, and the guy threw that truck in free, and that was part of the deal. And so Jeff's getting that truck fixed up. And I'm telling you, you know, the fervent prayers of the effective fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And when you're believing and you're taking that step of faith, because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, praise the Lord, man, I'm glad God's doing that for Jeff. But when you're in those shoes and you're saying, hey, we're tithing by faith, oh, my. Come on. Some of you have a problem writing anything out to God, much less tithing. Come on. And so when you're being faithful, you know, it's amazing what the Lord pours back in. But, you know, again, church, I'm telling you, last year on Mondays was ordained of God for us to be fasting and praying. This year, we're praying more. We're asking God to do more because, really, we're just saying, Lord, pour it out and then allow us to pour it out. We're blessed to be a blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And as you're blessed, that means God wants you to pour it out to others. And that's so important that we understand that. Well, this was sent to me. I wanted to read this to you this morning. I thought it was kind of cute, and I thought there's a lot to this, because if you listen to the news or any type of report, I mean, the world's falling apart according to the newscast. I mean, you know, we're not going to make it tomorrow. They're going to bomb us, shoot us, kill us, whatever, you know. But I want you to hear something here. I thought this was really cute that came. For those that were born between 1930 and 1979, to all the kids who survived the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, first, we survived being born to mothers, many of whom smoked and drank while they were pregnant. Oh, my. You're saying, where's this going? They took aspirin, ate blue cheese dressing, tuna from a can, and didn't get tested for diabetes. I'll never forget when Shalee was pregnant with Jared, and we went to our doctor. He was a Christian man. He said, well, I'm supposed to offer to you all these tests in case your child is handicapped, and we can test for them. If they're handicapped, this is to let you know if you want to end the pregnancy. And I'm like, what? I said, I don't need these tests. I don't want these tests. I said, whatever God gives us, that's what He wants us to have. And so we're just thanking the Lord for that. Then after the trauma, they were put to sleep on our tummies and baby cribs. They were put to sleep on their tummies and baby cribs, covered with bright-colored lead-based paints that covered the walls. We had no childproof lids or medicine bottles, doors or cabinets that would only open. We rode our bikes. We had no helmets, not to mention the risk that we took hitchhiking. I had buddies of mine that were in college in Springfield, Missouri, and they would hitchhike back home to Lafayette. Did it all the time. As infants and children, we were riding cars with no car seats, booster seats, seat belts, or airbags. Riding in the back of a pickup on a warm day was always a special treat. We drank water from the garden hose, not from a bottle. We shared one soft drink with four or five of our friends, and no one died from this. We ate cupcakes, white bread, real butter, drank Kool-Aid made with sugar, and we weren't overweight because we were always outside playing. We would leave home early in the morning and play all day as long as we were back when the streetlights came on. No one was able to reach us all day, but we were okay. We would spend hours building our go-karts out of scraps and then ride down a hill only to find out that we had no brakes. And after running to a bushes a few times, we learned to solve the problem. We did not have PlayStations, Nintendos, Xboxes, no video games at all. No, there were not 150 channels on the cable, no videos, no movies, no DVDs, no surround sound, or CDs. No cell phones, no personal computer, no internet, no chat rooms. We had friends, and we went outside and found them. We ate worms, mud pies, made from dirt, and the worms did not live in us forever. We were given BB guns on our 10th birthday and made up games with sticks and tennis balls. Although we were told it would happen, we did not put out very many eyes. We rode bikes or walked to a friend's house and knocked on the door and rang the doorbell. No, we didn't. We just walked in and talked to them. Little League had tryouts, and not everyone made the team. Those that didn't had to learn to deal with disappointment. Imagine that. The concept of a parent bailing us out if we broke the law was unheard of. They actually sided with the law. I'll never forget when the policeman came to my house and he told my parents what I had done. And I'm looking at my parents, and my mom just jumped on his side. What are you doing? She grabbed me right there. I thought she'd go beat me in front of him. But anyway. These generations have produced some of the best risk takers, problem solvers, and inventors ever. The past 50 years have been an explosion of innovation and new ideas. We had freedom, failure, success, and responsibility, and we learned how to deal with it all. If you are one of them, congratulations. There is a lot of truth in that, amen? Now for us, from my point of view, because my mom was a godly praying woman, from about the time I was 2 years old on, I attribute all that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as a kid, as a paper boy in this town, 8 years old, 55, 65 customers, later on 100 and some customers, I was knocking on doors every Friday and Saturday. Guys would come drunk, all kinds of stuff, and yet nobody was there with me. The Lord protected me. And so you've got to realize if God's got a plan for your life, and I believe he does, and God has a purpose for your life, and I believe he does, he will get you through everything in life. Amen? You will survive. You will survive. Last week, Evangelist Kenny Large talked a little bit. This is not on your notes. He talked about Deuteronomy chapter 1, and starting with verse 9, Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting with verse 9, and he talked about his theme for the year was multiplied by 1,000, or 1,000 and more, something like that. And Michael Schaefer and I were talking this week a little bit about this, And verse 9 says, "And I spoke to you at the time, saying, I alone am not able to bear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of the heaven and multiplied. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, and bless you as he has promised you." Now, we were talking a little bit about that last week, and he was talking about the Israelites and how God was going to pour them out on you, pour his blessings out on them. But I want you to, Mike and I were talking, and he had brought this up. I think Tammy had shared this with him. I'm going to jump down to verse 26. Now, God has promised them he's going to pour things out. But then in verse 26, this is what he says to them. Because, you know, they've sent, they're sending spies to spy out the land and to see all that God has for them and stuff. But he says in verse 26 in chapter 1, "Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you complained in your tents, or complained in your homes, or complained in your job, or complained in your church, and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up?" And then I'm going to skip to verse 34. "And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb." And then he talks about Joshua. "Because you complain, because of your unbelief, that you did not believe that God could do these things, it was taken from you." Now, I think that we need to take one step more this week and realize that we all want the blessings of the Lord, but you are blessed to be a blessing. It's not for you to hoard. It's not for you to fill your storage barns up. You're blessed to bless others. But if you're going to stay at home and complain, or come to church and complain, or whine about your job, or whine about, you need to be grateful where you are. You need to be thankful. The happiest people I know are those that are serving. So I just wanted to add that this morning, because some of you need to understand, we need to believe. Say believe. Say I believe. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to believe. Amen. Lord, we just pray this morning you help us to be true born again believers that will trust you and trust your word. Help us, God, to take it deep within our spirit. Help it to flow in us from the inside out, so that the evidence of what you're doing comes out by the fruit that is produced in our lives. Now, God, as we prepare this message to speak, God, something that you've given to me today, I pray, God, that you open our ears. Help us not only to be hearers, God, but help us to become doers. Remove any distractions, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your outline in front of you, which I believe you do, defining my future. Defining my future. I want to read some scriptures with you, and we need to get this in us this morning. Galatians 6, verses 8 through 10. Really, verse 8 is what I really wanted to focus on, but you need 10 to kind of see where this is going. But read with me, starting there on your outline. "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." Let's read that again. "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." Now, we talked a little bit a few weeks ago, and this is like the third message on this, because I felt like I was supposed to speak this morning. We talked about spirit, soul, and body. And we talked about how we become very soulish, and our soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. Our thinker, our chooser, and our feeler, our mind, will, and emotions. If you weren't here, by the way, if you're new at the church or you recently started coming, all the messages are free. All you got to do is sign up and you can get a copy of those. So you can get those every week. But there's a message ways back, 3 or 4 weeks back, that said, I believe it was laying down my crown or crowning him. What is it? Yes. And who have you crowned? And so you need to get a copy of this, and you need to play that over and over, because this is like the third of that, and it'll probably be the final, but I want you to understand that's so important. But if we reap to the flesh, God's word in the New Testament says we are going to, if we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. Now that's a huge statement. I want you to look below there. Now this is the Amplified where it says verse 8, right below that. Same verse in the Amplified. Read that with me. For he who sows to his own flesh, the lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. That's what the Amplified Bible says. If we sow to the flesh, man, we are going to reap decay, ruin, and destruction. Okay, let's continue on up above that. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, we have opportunity. Let us do good to all, especially to those that are of the household of faith. And I remember I told you that one of the first things God wants you and I to do is to do good to other believers. If we are the family of God, our first priority is other believers, to do good to them. And so, and then it's in the Amplified after that. Now I want to read on down 3 John verse 2. The book of 3 John verse 2. Read that with me. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now we talked about that. As your soul, your mind, will, and emotion prospers, you're going to be in good health. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And we found out that corruption is decay, ruin, and destruction. And I believe that you need to hear this again because so many believers are walking around as feelers. I don't feel like going to work. Has anybody ever been there? Come on. You ever feel like not going to work? Yeah. Feel every day, help him, Lord. I don't feel like staying home tonight. I don't feel like eating your food, baby. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like staying married. Well, I want to tell you something. You cannot go by your feelings, amen? But a lot of people do. You're speaking that death. I don't feel like giving to God. I don't feel like praying. I want to tell you something. I imagine Jesus did not feel like going to the cross. Come on, but aren't you glad he did? I'm sure he didn't feel like it, like, oh boy, gotta go to the cross. No. He was like, Father, if so, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But he didn't stick with his feelings. Praise God. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of fasting. And he knew that he had to go ahead and do it. So my point being this morning is, if we're going to define our future, we have to be careful that we don't go with our feelings. And we have to be careful we don't have stinking thinking. And we have to be careful that we don't let our chooser, which is our free will, put us in a bad situation. And that's so important. 1 John 4:18, read that with me right under there. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, I love that little verse there because it says fear involves torment. Do you want to be tormented in your life? Start fearing. Fear will bring about torment. The flesh will bring about corruption. But I want to tell you something. A lot of the flesh and the stuff we do in the flesh is based out of fear. Well, I'm going to lose my job today. You ever been around somebody like that? They're always going to lose their job. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, just get them fired. I'm tired of hearing about it. Just get them fired. They're going to speak it. Just give it to them, you know, just get them fired. And maybe they'll depend more on you. I mean, you laugh about that, but I mean, we're speaking this stuff. She's going to leave me. She's going to leave me. I know she's going to leave me. You know what? She's going to leave you. Because you are constantly speaking this death into your relationship. I'm going to fail. You know, that's why, you know, I talk to those that have, you know, been addicted to alcohol, to drugs, and they say once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I understand their thought process, and I understand. I want to tell you something. Once been set free by Jesus, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So no, I am no longer an alcoholic, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm no longer a drug addict, because whom the Son has set free is. I'm no longer a sinner, because God has set me free. We got to start believing that. When you say, I could or I might, you're setting yourself up for failure. Judy brought this to me a few weeks back after I had spoken, I believe my last message on this, and it's entitled, What's on Your Mind? If you want a copy of it, see Judy, I'll have her get you a copy or something, but it just talks about science, and it says, it's about quantum physics, and this is what it says here. How much time do you spend concentrating on negative things in your life? My friend Deborah Perez shared with me some of her discoveries regarding quantum physics and the Bible and how negative thinking is more than a mere thought. It's actually a force. Quantum physics has shown that all matter is simply a certain vibratory rate of energy. Matter is attracted to other matter. We call this the law of gravity. All energies will gravitate to other energies of the same or similar vibratory rates. All beliefs and thoughts, especially when attached or accompanied by a strong emotional current, remember our feeler, vibrate at a certain frequency or energy. And these things, events, people, and ideals that vibrate harmoniously with these thoughts will gravitate to them. Now, this is the bottom line here. Deborah says that science has discovered that every thought we think has its own energetic vibration frequency. Our thoughts are impressed into our subconscious minds, and then through the law of attraction, these thoughts energetically attract to other vibrations that match one of them. When you concentrate on what you do not want in your life, you set into motion that pattern that attracts the very thing you are trying to avoid. This is what happened to Job when he said, For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. Now, this is a whole article about quantum physics and how quantum physics has proven, as a man thinketh, so is he. Which the scripture says. Now, I want you to hear that, folks. The world is finding out. If you're walking around, I'm never going to get married, 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 I'm never going to get married. Some of you walking around, I'm never going to retire, I'm never going to retire, I'm not going to make it till retirement, I'm not going to, there is no retirement in God. But you're speaking this stuff into your life. And I want to tell you something. You know, I'm not here to promote positive confession this morning, but I want to tell you something. We better think on the good. We better believe God for the righteous. We better believe God for these things, because we need to focus on that. And when you're constantly walking around and believing the negative, and we did a whole thing on negative versus the good, negative feelings, negative thoughts, you know what? You're going to get that. You're going to get that. I can't go to you and say, you know, we're going to believe the Lord that he's going to heal your cancer this morning. Oh, no, he's not. The doctor told me I'm going to die in 6 months. Okay, well, we're going to believe God's going to heal you. No, he's not. Didn't you hear me? Oh, when the doctor told me I'm going to die in 6 months. Well, don't you believe God can do that? Well, God can do anything, but the doctor told me I'm going to die in 6 months. And so, you know what? You're probably going to die in 6 months. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you don't have any sustenance, any word that you are hanging on to from the word of God, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And as soon as you walk out and you've been prayed for, you better grab some word and hang on to that all week, and you better quote it. You better quote it. I was telling Michael, I know that God had spoke to my heart about doing something on Wednesday night for these second through fifth graders, kind of some intense discipleship. And man, Michael got sick after that first week. I got sick. And I was telling Michael, I said, Michael, This is nothing but an attack from the devil. He does not want us teaching these kids this stuff, and he's coming against us. Now, we can laugh about it. Oh, it's just a cold or whatever. No, I know exactly, and I remind you, devil, you are not going to stop me from pouring into those kids what God has for them. I let him know that. Now, you can laugh about it. I'm telling you, he works that away every day in our lives. He tries to bring you down. Oh, if I hadn't married old Lonnie. You know, old Lonnie, God, he's done a lot of stuff to me. Lord, I should have married old Ronnie. He was a lot better of a man. You know, quit focusing on your past. Because if you live in your past, you're not going to have a future. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. You might want to write this down. This is important. Okay, I got everybody's attention here. I have been hurt in my past. Really? Bad. Some of you have been hurt. No, let me do it. All of you have been hurt in your past. Jesus was hurt by his disciples doing some of it. You know, it happens. Okay? What we've got to do is forget about the past, forgive. That's a biggie. When I'm talking to somebody and they say, man, how you doing, Lord? I'm doing good. Well, man, how's your dad doing? Oh, that jerk. Oh, man, I can't wait to see him go to hell. I'm like, what? You absolutely have not forgiven. You cannot go any further. You've got to forgive. Don't live in your past. Hey, dads aren't perfect, amen? Moms aren't perfect, amen? Uncle Leo's not perfect, amen? That's there. I cannot live with focusing on those imperfect people and allowing that to rule and reign in my life. Shaloy will tell you, I'm not perfect. Don't amen, baby. But I am so glad she does not focus on my mistakes that I make once a year. That I make daily, okay? All right, suck it up and be a man, all right? We all mess up. Oh, I got to tell you what I did this week. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. My day off. It's cold. It's Tammy. It's cold. It's rainy, whatever. I'm thinking, I'm going to do something for my wife today. I looked in our kitchen cabinets. And I looked at all that food and I thought, that needs to be organized. I took everything out of those cabinets. I got it all out. And I'm like, man, I got stuff everywhere. And I'm like, where am I going to put all this stuff? So I started reorganizing. A few things, they slid into the trash can, a lot of things. Ooh, we don't need that. What is that stuff? I never said, oh, we don't need that. So I organized for her. I set it up, man. And then I called her about 4 o'clock. And I said, baby, guess what I did today? What'd you do, honey? Did you do my ironing? Did you do my washing? I said, no, I did something better. Oh, you're going to love this. I cleaned out the kitchen cabinets. She said, you did what? I mean, I thought I had committed the unpardonable sin. She got home. I was in the basement, purposely down there. And I heard the door open and it said, you have cost me hours of work. And I jumped up and I ran, let me show you what I did, babe. There's organization here. Look, there's this, there's this, there's this. We don't ever use this. I put that way up there because we don't ever use that. And everything. She said, you don't touch a woman's kitchen cabinets. She spent 6 hours redoing those cabinets. At 10:30 that night, she said, I am worn out, all because you redid those cabinets. I'm like, I was just trying to help. So I know if you're a man, would you listen to me? Don't you ever mess with your wife's cabinets. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good morning. Whew. My. Where's an usher? At Church Alive, we walk in order here. Ushers, would you take this woman and set her outside? I don't care if it's my mom. Send her. All right, let's get to this message here. I'm trying to help you men out by not doing some of these things, okay? Learn from your pastor's mistakes. All right. She still loves me. She really does know that I was trying. This morning, I want to go one step further in talking about our spirit, soul, and body, and then getting to the soul. One of the biggest things that we face is rejection. And rejection is stopping the body from moving forward. So look on your outline there. I'm going to give you a definition of rejection here in a moment. The word emotion is a Latin word, and it means upward movement and away from. So when you have emotion, you have upward movement and away from. Emotion can take you away, and there are good emotions, and I'm not saying you can't have emotions, but there are negative emotions, and I believe America is following these negative emotions. It's all about our feelings. I mean, some of you this evening are going to be depressed over a football game. I don't understand it. My Cowboys lost. I'm not depressed. I just wanted to fire a few coaches, get rid of some of that stuff. You know, no, but I'm not depressed. But you're going to get down. You know what? Don't let a game dictate your Monday morning. Hello? It's just a game. Don't let a game cause you to be angry with your children tonight. Amen? I got a buddy that is a huge Ohio State fan. I mean, a huge. He wears Ohio State everything. And when they got slaughtered, he wouldn't answer his phone for 2 days. He didn't want anybody talking to him about that. Now, that's sad. You can't let that affect you. We got to take charge of our emotions and master them. If you don't take charge of your emotions, they will take charge of you. I said, if you don't take charge of your emotions, they will take charge of you. Our thinking has to line up with the Word of God. We have emotions. Make sure they don't have you. We have them. Make sure they don't have you. Okay. Let's look at John 14:21 there. It's on the back of your outline. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love and manifest myself to him. Now, Jesus is talking here about his commandments. We know that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what he's talking about here. Love God, love those around us. If you don't have them, you're going to be in trouble. Yielding to negative emotions can put you in opposition to God's word. You might want to just write that down. Yielding to negative emotions can put you in opposition to God's word. I don't feel like earning a living. You're going to be in opposition to his word, because a man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. I don't know that I love my spouse anymore. Well, love's not a feeling. Love's a commitment. And the Bible is very clear for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and for wives to respect their husbands. Walking in the Spirit, we line up with God's word. Rejection is in opposition to the word of God. Rejection is in opposition to the word of God. And I'm going to define that for you here in a little bit, but I want you to look at that verse. Look at point number one there. What tends to happen to us because of rejection is we compromise for conformity. We compromise for conformity. We compromise for conformity. We said that emotions are feelings on the inside caused by pain or pleasure trying to direct you someplace. And we have emotions, good and bad. If a man yields to negative emotions, they find themselves opposed to what God has in His Word. And if you yield to negative emotions, you have yielded to the flesh. The flesh is not just a physical body. It is a way of thinking. It is a way of thinking that is in opposition to the Word of God. That's what the flesh is. A way of thinking that is in opposition to the Word of God. I want to get these things defined so you understand where we're going to go this morning. The flesh is a way of thinking that is in opposition to the Word of God. And fleshly thinking is based in fear. Fleshly thinking is based in fear. And we can go back and look at the very first verse there. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap an everlasting life. So fleshly thinking is based in fear. We need to ask ourselves, what rejection are we facing that's trying to determine our destiny? Because all of us face them. What rejection am I facing that's trying to determine my destiny? Some of you, you look at your bank account and you're constantly feeling rejected, like you don't measure up, you don't have enough, and you're allowing that to keep you paralyzed and in fear, because rejection is rooted in fear, because the flesh is rooted in fear. What is rejection? It's an emotion that goes against the Word. It's insecurity. Rejection can be hurt by from others. There's many ways to define rejection. You can feel inadequate, insecure. But you have to remember that rejection comes out of fear. Now, if we sow to anger, we're going to reap the corruption of anger. If we sow to hurt, we're going to reap the corruption of hurt. If we sow to depression, we're going to reap the corruption of depression. And if we sow to rejection, we're going to reap the corruption of rejection. I just want you to close your eyes and hear this. I want you to get this in your spirit this morning. Just close your eyes. Satan has maintained his access into your life because you continue to nourish negative emotions in the flesh, and he attacks you through them. I'm going to say that again. Just close your eyes. Satan has maintained his access into your life because you continue to nourish negative emotions in the flesh, and he uses those to attack you through them. Don't allow the enemy to have a foothold or a stronghold in your life, because you're allowing these negative things to be there. I thought about this, and I heard a guy say this one time, a time back, and it's so true. Anger is one letter away from danger. Anger is one letter away from the word danger. Hear me, it's not all right that you're angry all the time. It's not all right that you want to hurt others. It's not all right that you're depressed all the time. It's not all right that you feel rejected all the time. That is not normal. That is not how God wants you to live. Our feelings are great at leading us astray. The devil is very cunning. He's very abrasive. So don't let the enemy use your emotions to move you away from God. because his goal is to destroy you, the devil's goal. I love it because we can work out physically every day, pump the iron, take our vitamins, take our minerals. We can do all those things to try to get ourselves physically in shape. But if you're not doing something on the inside to make a difference, you're in trouble, because the inside will corrupt all that's on the outside. Now, I want to read John 6:37 there. Compromise for conformity. We're going to get to that, but I want to read it in the Amplified. Read that with me. All whom my Father gives in trust to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will most certainly not cast out. I will never reject one of them who comes to me. If you're dealing with rejection, man, your verse is John 6:37 in the Amplified. Jesus said, I will never reject those that come to me. Oh man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the Amplified, Jesus says, I will never reject one of those that come to me. I've not been given this spirit of rejection. Man, I've been given the spirit of acceptance in Christ if I know him as my Lord and Savior. Some of you, I never measure up. They always reject me. My husband rejects me. My kids reject me. Oh, that my work rejects me. The church rejects me. You have the spirit of rejection. Grow up. John 6:37. Jesus says, I will never reject you. I'm telling some of you that are single, that are praying for the right person, and some old ugly man comes to you and he's got bad breath, and you know that you are a born-again believer and that's just not who you're supposed to marry, and he says, let's you and I go out. You need to say, I'm married. My man's Jewish, because I'm married to Christ. Amen? That's your out right there. All you got to do is tell him, I'm married. I'm married. Some of you men, she comes to you, she's just not what you think. Oh my, she's on. You need to say, baby, I'm married. You're married? I'm married. I'm married. I'm the bride. She'll be looking at you, what? She's like, I don't need you. That's right. Yeah, you don't need me and I don't need you, because I'm married. I'm married to Jesus. Some of you don't get that. You will. We are the bride of Christ. We're waiting for his return. Jesus will never, no, never reject you once you truly have made him Lord. And you can call on him at any time. Okay, define rejection here. It's a feeling. It's the first thing. It's a feeling. It's feeling not loved, unaccepted. You don't belong. You're not included. It leads to low self-esteem. It's a feeling. Feeling not loved, unaccepted. You don't belong. Not being included. And it leads to low self-esteem. Have you ever been around somebody and the spirit of rejection just walks all over them, and you walk by. Adam's sitting here today, you know, and Adam's a hugger, you know, and this is kind of his love language and stuff. And I'm like, how you doing, man? And Adam goes home, that preacher don't like me. He don't like me. He just walked by and said, how you doing? Didn't give me a hug, didn't shake my hand. I put my hand out there. He walked right by me, had things on my mind, you know, going, you know, that spirit of rejection. Just want to jump all over him. They don't like me. You got to get that off you. You know what? Some of you need to be delivered. You need an outright deliverance. Everybody's always talking about you behind your back. You need to grow up. The problem is you must be doing a lot of talking about them, because you're reaping what you're sowing to the flesh, and the corruption's coming out. Oh, that's good. Somebody needs to mark that. You're doing a lot of talking. And a lot of thinking of the wrong stuff. We'll leave that. We are willing to change our values, even God's values, in order to be accepted by others. Man, I just know it. Now, some of you are sitting here, and you come about once a month or twice a month. I would love to be a mouse on your shoulder in your pocket to see how you are at home. Because I think we're three people sometimes. We're a person at home. We're a person at church. And then we're a person at work. You know, I'll never forget how I was working with that one brother. I told you this, but he didn't know that I was a Christian. He just blankety-blank this and blankety-blank that and blankety-blank that. What do you do for a living, Owen? I'm a preacher. Praise the Lord. My dad's a Baptist deacon. Hallelujah. My. All because of being around. And some of you people, you're at work, man, and you're like, blankety blank this, oh my, or you're just one. There's one guy that stopped by the church one day. I was upstairs. He stopped by to see me, and I said, "Man, how you doing?" He said, "Hey, I got a brother that works with me. He's from your church." I'm like, "Oh, that's great. Yeah, I know him. Yeah, can you do something with him?" I'm like, "What?" He whines and complains all the time. He's doing more damage for the kingdom of God than he's ever building anybody up. And I'm like, "You know what, brother? You're a brother. He's a brother. The Bible says you need to go one-on-one to him. You need to go and talk to him. And you need to tell him what he's doing." Now, I don't know if he ever did or not. But it is amazing what we are at home. Or some of you ladies, "Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. God's good. God's good." You get home, your husband says, "Baby, it's time for you and I to be a little romantic." Yeah. "Hey, don't be touching me. I'm tired. I'm tired all the time. This house is filthy and these kids wearing me out and you don't do nothing. I can't do nothing. I'm tired." Now, you're a hypocrite because you're at church like, "Woo! Woo! Jesus." I remember, man, at church I was on staff before, man, this lady in the choir, man, she's all over that choir on Sunday morning. Woo! Her husband come to me and he said, "You got to help me." "I got to help you?" "Yeah. My wife, we've not been intimate for 2 years. She's always worn out and tired." I said, "Is your wife the one up there in the choir does all that?" "Yeah. There's a problem. And it ain't with him. Come on, ladies. Your husband needs intimacy. It's a physical thing that God created in him." I don't know why I got into this, but it's here. It's not even in my notes. Some man's been fasting this week. He's rejoicing right now. He won't even look at his wife right now. He's just like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is a God thing." You need to let go and let God, lady. I want to tell you a true story. This is sad because my father-in-law, Shaloy's stepdad, you know, Dr. Dobbins, he's counseled thousands of people. I remember him telling me a story about this godly woman. Her hair was up to here. Shaloy's like, "Oh, Owen, don't." I'm going to tell you, this is how much abuse is going on in the church. She was just a sanctified saint for Jesus. And she'd go home and her husband wanted a little love. And she would start speaking in tongues. And when she was done speaking in tongues, that was it. No matter where they were in that session, that was it. "Once I'm done speaking in tongues, we're done." Now, I want to tell you something. That is not God. That is the flesh. That is perversion. Some of you ladies are like, "Well, let me get up here." No. You don't have a platform today. No. Because you know what you're doing? You're making your husband feel rejected. And the enemy is playing with his mind and shooting all kinds of darts in there. And then he's struggling in other areas because you're not willing to be the godly woman God has called you to be. Some of you are sitting there, I should have brought my wife today. I knew she should have come. That's just the devil keeping her out here. Get the tape for her. But we're willing to change our values away from God's values in order to be accepted. I mean, I'm amazed at these kids today that They'll wear some of the things they'll wear in order to be in the in crowd. You buy them a $50 pair of shoes, and you come home, you're all excited, and they're like, I'm not wearing them. You're not what? I'm not wearing them. Man, them are nerdy. I'd be the laughing stock of the school. I'm telling you, what have we done to our kids? I tell you what we've done to our kids. We are so scared of verbal feedback from our children and feeling rejected, we won't even discipline our children anymore. Because we don't want to be rejected. I don't want little Susie to not like her daddy. I don't want little Susie to not like her mommy. So we feared away because of rejection. I want her to, not, what is wrong with you? The Bible wants us to discipline our children. God disciplines us in love. Some of you are scared to death to do anything to your kids. Well, they might not like me no more. You know what? You're not called to be their best friend. You're called to be their parent. And when they get older, they will appreciate what you've done. What about if you're single and, oh, you found him. You found her. Oh, that's the one. Everything I prayed for, God. Woo, Jesus. I feel it. And you go out. And they say, now, in order to continue this relationship, you know, I have to have sex. All of a sudden, are you going to conform and compromise? Because this is what we do. Because you want to keep them in that relationship, and you want them, and so all of a sudden, you compromise for conformity so that you can have them. I want to tell you something. You need to look at them and say, I belong to Jesus. I'm going to keep myself pure because I feel pretty good about who I am. But if I get in bed with you and we mess around, I'm going to feel pretty trashy. Hello. And I'm going to feel very ugly and dirty. And that's not what God has. So either you've got to change your moral values, because I'm not going to change just because I might be rejected. Can you hear that this morning? Some of you ladies, you're worried he won't give you this or get you that if you don't do this or that. Now, that's not God. It ain't about worrying about being rejected and manipulated. But we can talk about it. I mean, it's like I said, where are you at home? Where are you at work? I mean, when you get around certain people and boss is getting on my nerves. I remember that song by Randy Stonehill. Suck, baby, suck. Just light up that fag and take a drink. You're working on lung cancer, emphysema, cardiac arrest, and they'll probably have a stroke when you see the x-ray of your chest. Anyway. But you get around certain people at work, and they're dipping, or they're doping, or they're smoking, and so you've decided, if I'm going to be in the in crowd with them, I've got to start dipping, I've got to start doping, I've got to start smoking. I'm telling you, you are compromising in order to be part of their group instead of saying, Jesus, I'm no longer going to do this. I'm not going to let my friends or my coworkers determine who I'm going to be. Hello, am I speaking to somebody this morning that needs to get this stuff done? All due to the spirit of rejection. Guys, I know. I realize there's certain industries that they've cleaned their act, but I still know. Man, when I can name plants that I worked in the city where guys are trying to show me pornography while I'm working the night shift. I had guys pasted all over my work area, centerfolds, trying to get me to look at it because they knew I was a Christian. Now, you laugh about it, but it's pretty perverted. Man, I'm just tearing it down, and they're just laughing because they know that at that time this 21-year-old kid is trying to live for God, and they're doing everything they can to pervert him. I'm telling you, that stuff's out there all the time, but you have to decide what you're going to do with it. Are you are you going to listen to that dirty joke? You need to tell them, man, if it's dirty, I ain't listening. Compromising for conformity. Number two, exposed to exploitation. Exposed to exploitation. You're willing to do whatever you need to be accepted, even if it means allowing somebody else to control you. You're willing to do whatever you need to do to be accepted, even if it means letting somebody else control you. We see this happening with our young people all the time. I want to fit in. I want to be a part of this. What do? They join a gang. They have initiations. They have to do these things in order to be. But peer pressure is right there too. I don't want to be rejected. But it's bigger than gangs. It happens at work. Well, the girls are just all going out for a drink, honey. Just one drink. Or the guys are all, it's just one drink, baby. We're just going out for one drink. Well, where are you going, honey? We're going to Hooters. Hooters? Oh, it won't hurt me. Yes, it will. Who you hang out with is who you become. Exposed to exploitation. You're allowing yourself to be controlled by others in order to be accepted. You'll let them use you. You'll do it. Come on, just take a toke. Just take a toke. Man, just take these pills. Oh, and you don't know what it's like. Oh, yes, I do. Man, I had a guy sit to me every day, and he would hold all these different pills out in front of me. He said, man, you can zoom through this. This will help. Just take one of these. Just take one of these. I'd be like, no. He did that every day. Handful of amphetamines, just trying to get me to take. And then all of a sudden, he gives them to this gal I know. And then he laughs. He goes, look at her, Owen. Look at her, man. I got her so buzzed. And she's just sitting there, man, doing this stuff. Sitting there so buzzed. Yielding to that because she wanted to be accepted by him. Because in her mind, he was cool. Driving along. A friend of mine picked me up. He said, I was at home and he called me. Hey, we're going to go out tonight. Yeah, it's great. Let's go. We're going out. Next thing you know, we pick up a couple girls. I'm like, hey, what are we doing? I got these chicks, man. These girls are easy, Owen. I don't want no easy girls. They're easy. I don't want, man. You need to take me home. These girls get in the car. They looked wild. They acted wild. I'm like, I told you I need you to take me home. Well, they need to go to the store first. They go to the store, they come back out. They are huffing different cans of stuff. I'm looking at my buddy, get me home. As a matter of fact, don't even drop me off close to my house. I'll get out and walk. I don't want my mom to see me around these girls. With another guy. Had this set of twins with him. He's like, man, we're going to have a good time. Owen, you got to go with these girls. We're in that car. Police pulls him over. He hits the brakes so hard when the police pull him over because the cop runs out in the middle of the road. Stop! He slams on his brakes. I'm in the back seat. The guy goes, stay right here. I'm getting you a ticket for speeding. When he hit his brakes and went forward and went back, he had a bag of marijuana come flying back right at my feet. I'm like, what is this? He's like, hide it. I said, hide it. I threw it to him. I said, I'm out of here. I got out of the car and I started walking home. I did. I got out and I started walking. I didn't care. Now, some people are going to sit in that car. They're going to take it. I'm not going to be a part of that. I don't care if he doesn't accept me. I don't care if he rejects me. I'm not going to do that. We have to, that's not what God's called us to do. Exposed in order to be exploited. Men yielding to peer pressure. Parents fearing verbal rejection from their children. I was going to bring a yo-yo in today because so many times Christians remind me of a yo-yo. They just up and down, and sometimes they get down and they roll on the floor and they just flip-flop everywhere. Because when they were down, they felt under rejection and they went that away. That's what it reminds me of. I almost called this sermon yo-yos. Last point. What does rejection do? We lose a sense of self. It causes you and I to lose our sense of self. People who fear rejection become chameleons. You see it happen all the time in families. You're going to go to Aunt Bertha's house, and you're scared of upsetting Aunt Bertha or whatever, and you just become a chameleon. Oh, I love that. You can't stand that. Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah. No. I see it happen with preachers. They lose their sense of self. They're in a thing with godly ministers. It's like, oh, would you pray, Brother Allen? Yes, I will. Oh, Father God in the heavens, thou hast that holdest me in the palmest of thy handest. Does Brother Allen go home at night and say, whoa, sweet wife of my youth, thou that loveth me like a little flower loveth her little raineth? I don't know. No, they don't do that. But they become whoever they're around. I've been asked to go to things, golf or whatever, with people, and I'm going and I meet my buddy. Hey, we're going to golf. And he's like, hey, Owen. Yeah, these guys are unsaved. Be careful. What? They're unsaved. Be careful what you say. What? In other words, Owen, don't be Jesus around these people. Well, that's the wrong thing to say to me. That first bad shot, praise the Lord, he's going to give me another good one. Everybody's like, oh. We are not to be ashamed of who we are in Christ. Amen? I told you, my point in life is be real wherever you are. Be who you are. Don't let rejection cause you to lose your sense of who you are. I was over at Marsh just a few years back. Yeah, I know she's a Christian. She is literally reaming out the manager at Marsh. I mean, everybody's standing there watching her. I mean, just going ballistic. Over nothing. So I walk by, and she's just going, she sees me, and she's like, hey, Pastor Owen, how you doing? Praise the Lord. I'm like, you're an idiot. I didn't say that. I thought it. Because she's ruining her entire witness to the entire store. Because how many know? Hey, let me help you out. Those that are waitresses, and waiters, Christians, everybody say Christians. Christians need to leave a tip, not a track. You can leave a track, but you need to leave some money. We have a terrible reputation of being cheap. I was at my second office, Applebee's, and I was talking to the ladies there, and they were saying, Shaloy and I were sitting there, they said, you know, we have a church group that comes in here every Sunday night, and none of us want to wait on them. Is that your church one? I said, absolutely not. We didn't know who they were, but they're in here, but they don't tip. They're rude. They're demanding. Now, come on. We need to be careful as Christians. Our light should shine wherever we are. Can you imagine a police officer pulling you over and you're going like, I was speeding. Give me the ticket. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, if you want to do more for me, go ahead, do a little more, brother. God's trying to judge me. Now, they'd be blown away. Somebody would be like, I'd never say that. I love what the one gal did. She actually did. She just had her nails done, and the cop pulls her over. We're going to give her a ticket. And she's like, she was dead serious. She just had them done, spent like $50. She gets her purse. She goes, would you get my wallet out? He goes, what? She goes, I just had my nails done. And he got her wallet out, got it all out for it and everything. And she said, thank you, thank you. And she put it back. And he was laughing so hard, he just gave her a warning.
Some of you are going to be like, that's my next excuse, my nails.
Here's the problem with rejection. I started thinking of an onion. And we just let people peel these layers off to conform, to compromise, to be exploited, to lose self-assurance, and they keep peeling off. And finally, there's nothing left of the onion except tears. Because whenever I'm peeling onions, I cry. And that's what's happening to a lot of believers. They're just letting the world strip them, strip them, strip them. And they find themselves nothing with nothing left but a puddle of tears. How do we overcome this? Real quick. First of all, we get born again. It's on your outline. We start living a righteous life. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We forgive others. Remember that this thing is based in fear, rejection. We need to forgive those that have hurt us in our past. Forgive and forget. You've lost your dad. You've lost your mom. You've been abused. You've been fired. You're a redhead. You're a blondehead. Your eyes aren't brown. They're blue. They're not blue. They're brown. I don't know. We need to get over this stuff. Go back to that verse in John 6:37. Jesus will never reject you. He made you just as you are. He loves you. Stand with me this morning. Adam, if you'll come up to the keyboard. With heads bowed, we're going to close, but hear me out this morning. And this is for some folks here. You need to hear this. You need to be born again. You need to forgive. You need to start living a holy life. But you need to stop being the victim. Too many Christians are walking around saying, I was the victim. Get over victim mentality. You are heirs of God. You are the righteousness of Christ. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're not victims. We are rulers with God. Bow your heads. We have Jesus that's caused us to walk in victory. Church, we are the apple of his eye. With heads bowed this morning, eyes closed. Your soulish part, you're allowing your soul to get above your spirit, your feelings, and you've allowed this whole area of rejection to eat you alive. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm just dead serious this morning. I'm just holding you a little longer, but you need to wait. Christians are praying. But the reason that some of you cannot go forward in the kingdom is because you're being exploited. You're conforming. You don't even know who you are anymore. Because of the spirit of rejection. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, that is me this morning. I live in rejection and I need God to set me free. Lift your hand up and take it back down. Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hands going up everywhere. I live in rejection and I need the Lord to set me free. Anybody else? Anybody else? Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know what? It's there and you need to be set free. Whether you did or you didn't, I'm going to ask everyone that lifted their hands, even those that didn't, would you please, this is not to embarrass you, but this is saying, I want this out of my life so bad. I don't want to live with this anymore. I want to live in my past. I want to be free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I want to be free this morning because I want to be able to define my future. And I want to start it with Jesus Christ. Would you step out and come up here this morning? You lifted your hand. Maybe you didn't. Step out. Don't wait on nobody else. There's a bunch of hands that went on. Come on. That's right. Go ahead and sing that, Adam, as they're coming. Just step out.